You are listening to SPN, the Sports Podcasting Network.
You are listening to the MLS Postgame Show, live on SPN Radio, powered by the Sports Podcasting Network.
Wondolowski settles, drives, he scores! Wando does it again, 1-1.
One laid off left side, and the glass is in far side, and it's 1-0, and the shutout streak of the Red Bulls is over, and so is the streak of games without a goal for Marco Caballo.
Good night and welcome to the first ever MLS post-game show live. I am Kevin Larme and welcome to SPN Radio. If you want to reach me right now, hashtag SPN Radio, you can call in right now. The number to call, 929-477-3874, to talk about the Montreal Impact draw on the road against New York City FC at Yankee Stadium, to talk about the draw in New England at Foxborough between the Portland Timbers and the Montreal Portland Timbers and the New England Revolution, or the game that's going on right now. It's 1-1. Hey, kind of a trend tonight, right? 1-1 draw tonight at the 67th minute in Vancouver between Kansas City and the Whitecaps. Whitecaps are down to 10 men. We'll keep an eye on the rest of that game for the duration of the show. But once again, welcome, and give us a call right now at 929-477-3874. It's going to be a great time. We have a couple of audio clips for you later tonight, a couple of great sound from the games that happened earlier today. Let's talk about the first game. The Montreal Impact and New York City FC faced off in Yankee Stadium, the smallest pitch allowed by, well, FIFA, by everybody. So that pitch is so small that, well, you have to adapt your styles of play. It's almost a disadvantage, and that's what we saw tonight. We saw a Montreal Impact team that was almost running after the play, trying to actually get behind New York and get that ball and run after. They were trying to get used to that small pitch, and they did at the end with a Didier Drogba free kick that Dominic Arduro put his head on it while he was diving in the box to tie it up at the 90th minute, which is, yeah, in the nick of time. But Montreal steals a point, or maybe even so, loses 2 points because there should have been a penalty earlier. Maybe, yes, depending on your opinion. Was it a dive? Was it a foul? Call us. Talk about it. 929-477-3874. You know, that penalty call or not, what's interesting is, you know, Petrescu has been refereeing the Montreal Impact for almost a decade now. And it seems like he's always a little harsher on the Montreal Impact players. It seems like he knows them personally, and it's a little harder for him to actually make calls and whistle. And yeah, so for a call like this, it's not necessarily easy. We have our first caller tonight. Let's go to him right now. Area code 450, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, hi.
How you doing?
Hey, Ludovic. How are you, Kevin?
I am great. Hey. Nice to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, nice. It's been a while. So, what do you want to talk about?
Well, what did you think about the Montreal Impact game tonight at Yankee Stadium?
Well, wasn't much to say about, you know. Not really inspiring for Montreal. They're lucky to get a point at the end with that Arduro goal.
Exactly, Arduro. Yeah. Lucky goal, if you want to say, with a free kick header off of Didier Drogba free kick. What did you think about the pitch itself? Everybody's talking about on Twitter, making jokes. Oh, it's a small pitch. It's a small field. It affects the game. But it actually does affect the game. And a player like Didier Drogba was looking for space all night long, Ludo.
You know, for me, it's not much of an issue. It's like golf, you know. You have to adapt your game to the field you're playing. It's the same thing with that. And you have to understand, it's New York. How do you find a place to build a real stadium for soccer in New York? It's not easy. So it's going to take some time, and eventually it's going to be better. But you want to have a New York City FC in your league if you're Don Garber, that's for sure. So, yeah, the pitch is bad, but deal with it.
Was it a penalty or was it a dive? Piatti in the end of the second half.
For me, neither. It was just contact. You have the same contact in midfield. There's nothing there. I mean, the ref says to the player to stand up, and that's it. And it was the same thing right there. I mean, yeah, there's contact, but there's contact in football all the time. You know, Piatti jumped over someone, he fell a little bit, and the guy, but just casual contact. At midfield, there's no foul, there's no dive, and there's nothing. And now he felt obliged to give a yellow card because it was in the box, but that's dumb.
You're listening to the MLS post-game show. You can call us at 929-477-3874. Have you seen in the Vancouver game the second yellow card to Kendall Watson now being sent off? A difficult home game for Vancouver so far, you know, it's 1-1.
Sorry, what did you say?
It's a kind of a difficult home game. Kansas City is putting down the pressure on Vancouver in this game, even before that second yellow by Kendall Watson.
Yeah, well, I think Kansas City was sleeping a little bit at the beginning of the game, but the goal by the Caps woke them up, and they're all over them right now. So, and that it was a stupid yellow card. Not that it was a stupid yellow card, but it was a stupid foul. And if you look at the play just before that, the pass, back pass to ousted by Parker, that Watson had to do something. And, well, it resulted in a yellow card. It resulted in a red card. He didn't have much of a choice. But, yeah, that was a dumb play.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, TC is definitely in the driver's seat.
If you're looking at the Montreal Impact season so far, they're still first at the standing as we speak in the Eastern Conference with 13 points. Are you impressed, or was it that what you were expecting?
It's a little bit better than what I was expecting, mostly because they played really good without Drogba. And now they have to learn to play with him. It's like they forgot everything. So because they're just looking for him and not creating anything in midfield on the attack. They have to go back to the drawing board and try to find their philosophy, their identity, because they're just sending him balls and hoping that he does magic or that Piatti does magic, which doesn't happen all the time. So they have to do something.
Is there a problem that Montreal could create by maybe over-relying on Didier Drogba? Of course, the actual, like you mentioned, the pitch, the small pitch, they were trying to look for him because they couldn't get space in the midfield having such a small of a field. But could it be a problem down the road for the Montreal Impact, the over-reliance of maybe Drogba to do everything by himself?
Maybe not a problem, but it's a challenge. And they have to rise up. That every team in MLS has challenges that they have to rise up to. And this is the one Montreal has to. Because you look at the defense, and we saw it today. Okay, they gave up a goal that maybe they shouldn't have. But still, the defense is really solid. The midfield is all right. They have to find a way to make it work, that midfield with Drogba, and that midfield with the back line. Because a lot of the time, they simply skip him. They skip the midfield and they don't create anything. They don't construct.
Last question before I move on, Ludovic. You know, Dominic Arturo got a goal late in the game, and Dominic Arturo has been maybe underappreciated, not necessarily with the club. The club loves him and the player loves him, but with the Montreal Impact fan base. They're saying, oh, Arturo, he misses his chance. He gets good chances, but he can't finish. Is this goal maybe not redemption, but is it maybe for the naysayer to say, look, he is important. Even if he comes in as a substitute, he can be important for the Montreal Impact.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at in the Whitecaps game, Dom Dwyer just came in. He has 4 goals in the season. How many does Dominic Arturo have? He has 3, and he has a lot of passes too. So he's an important piece of this puzzle. Now, you have to find a way to use him with Drogba on the field. so that he's effective. Is that on the right wing? Maybe. Is that with Drogba up front? Maybe. Is that as a sub? Maybe. But you have to find a way.
Ludovic Martin, thank you very much for calling on our first MLS Live postgame show.
Thanks.
All right, you can give us a call at 929-477-3874 to talk about any MLS game. Are you looking for anything in the weekend? Is any game really caught your attention tonight? Did either the Montreal Impact at New York City FC at Yankee Stadium really tickled your fancy? Did you like to see basically a futsal match on basically half turf, half kind of turf over kind of dirt? Yeah. Or did you like that kind of a thriller in New England where New England got the tying goal late in the game as well, where Portland got the go-ahead goal on the road? Or Vancouver down to 10 men. Can they hold on? 75th minute. It's still 1-1 right now between Vancouver and Kansas City. Kansas City, I reestablished earlier this year in our prediction on the Two Solid Dudes Soccer podcast that you can listen to on the Sports Podcasting Network, the sponsors of this radio, hashtag SBN Radio, if you want to talk to us right now, as well as the phone line. I repeat, 929-477-3874 here live on SBN Radio. If you're looking at a game like Kansas City and Vancouver, Kansas City was, for me, a favorite at the beginning of the season. They're a little bit on the slide. 3-game losing streak. They can get a result tonight in Vancouver, even if it's a 1-1 down to 10 men. But feel for that for a loss because, look, they're up one guy. They have a chance to get 3 points on the road, which it's a little bit how Montreal must feel. Yeah, they got that 1 point late in the game. They got that result. But if it was for either that call or that Piatti dive or foul, depends. It's a perception issue, I would say. But if that penalty was called, or if one of the chances of Drogba that actually was maybe 2 foot off, he still got a couple of good shots on that too. You know, Montreal was a little bit unlucky offensively in the game in New York City. And yeah, New York City is playing a style at home that does take advantage of their, I would not say, take advantage of the fact that they're more used to the pitch. That's what it is. So the home field advantage, if you listen to today's Solitude Soccer podcast, Dwayne Rowland talks about the home field advantage on statistically. It does exist. It's small. It's a marginal gain, but it's a gain after all. And in a stadium like the Yankee Stadium, I guess we're beating the same drum over and over again. But Yankee Stadium's pitch is the smallest allowed for FIFA international play. So, yeah, it's very small to play. We're talking about 64-meter long, wide, 100 meters long. So it's very smaller compared to regular, like Stade Saputo or regular pitch in the MLS. So for the players, it's, yeah, they have to adjust, but they don't have a lot of time to adjust. They have to try to adjust on the go, and it's not necessarily easy. I would say Montreal Impact did adjust on the go quite correctly, especially at halftime. Montreal Impact came, yes, they came back, and New York was all over them, but in that second half, they adjusted to eventually get at an opportunity at the end of the game with Dominic Arduro getting that late equalizer for Montreal on the road. But again, I stress the fact that that penalty maybe should have been called, but there's a couple of other calls in the game that it's, yeah, you could say Petrescu overcompensated the fact that he's Canadian and that he's refereeing at Canadian games. Yeah, maybe it's a cliche. Maybe it's a myth. Maybe statistically, I can be wrong. Yeah, there's a chance. But when we're looking at the game, that's the feeling and that's the thought that comes to everybody's mind when we're seeing Petrescu referee, especially when there's a Canadian team involved. And the same feeling can be said when you're watching Petrescu referee Canada, referee Toronto or Vancouver. We've seen it before and we're probably going to see it again. You are listening to the MLS post-game show here live on SBN Radio. You can call in right now, 929-477-3874. Hashtag SBN Radio. You are listening to the Sports Podcasting Network. You're a big soccer fan? SPN is the place to be. UFL Radio, NASL Nightcap, Two Solid Dudes Soccer Podcast, Off the Woodworks, Ours is the Fury, 2S Extra, the rest of the story.
SPN is the place to be.
Maxime Tissot today in New York City had a chance to start a game. And he took that chance and ran with it. Basically ran all across the pitch with it. Box to box, almost. Baseline to baseline. Net to net. Defending correctly as a fullback and attacking as a fullback. Very interesting performance for Maxime Tissot, which did not see a lot of playing time this season up until last Saturday against Toronto. Was subbed in about the 20th minute for Sun Kamara and fared pretty good enough that he actually was given a start tonight. And he played really well for the Montreal Impact tonight in a first start for the season for Maxime Tissot. And, you know, he actually created a lot of chance offensively. And that's the one thing that the Montreal Impact should do more. And we've been talking about it. Use the flanks with the fullbacks, with the wingers, trying to exploit it. Okay, granted, tonight it was not easy to use those flanks because, once again, the size of the actual field. But Maxime Tissot was able to take advantage of the small amount of space he was given. So for that, Maxime Tissot has probably deserved more playing time. Starting maybe against Colorado Saturday at Satsuputo. April 30th. Maybe. Jermaine Jones at Satsuputo. Drogba, 290 minutes. Solid, straight in a row. I say solid, maybe I shouldn't say solid. Didier Drogba was actually playing in those two games where he was trying to pace himself and manage the amount of energy exerted. So at the end of the game, he can be useful. And hey, his foot was on the ball on that free kick that Dominic Underhill headed into the goal. So, you know, it's worth it. If he's able to manage his usage, manage his time as a striker where he doesn't run when he's not supposed to, doesn't run when he's not needing to run, well, it's perfect because down the road, it's going to be energy that he saved all across the season, you know. Saved 20 minutes of running here and there. It's going to add up. We're in the playoff. I stress again. Remember against Columbus, second game? Yeah, you didn't see a lot of DDA. That's what Montreal doesn't want to happen this year. Because it's kind of now or never for Didier Drogba with the Montreal Impact this year. So the fact that he's pacing himself and tonight was able to be effective when it actually mattered, all right, they didn't win. It's not a win. And if you look at how Laurent Simon felt after the game, he was quite angry about the lack of offensive chances created, the lack of finish, and the lack of advantage taken by the Montreal Impact, saying, look, offensively, we didn't do what we needed to do. We still don't use the openness of the flanks. That's what he was saying. The fullbacks need to do better. And he was angry that it's a fullback of the other team that came all the way across the damn pitch and scored on them. That's how mad he was. Okay, I have a problem. It's another damn fullback that scored on us again. We have to block those scoring lines. We have to block the access to our box and to our scoring chances. Say no, but again, it's a fullback that scored on us, a defender, and we have to defend together. So that's what Laurent Simon was saying. Adjero was saying, look, he was effective off of the bench. It was his instruction to run everywhere. Basically was kind of given free rein in this game because he came in later on into the game. It wasn't a start for him. So again, it was Didier Drogba. So for the Montreal Impact, it was actually key, the type of intensity that Adjero brought when he came into the game. We mentioned the small pitch and how corners can be very dangerous in a place like Yankee Stadium, because if you have a good whip and a good weight, it's right in front of the net, and before you know it, it's in the back of the net. And if you're looking at the corner situation in the game between New York City FC and the Montreal Impact tonight, 13 corners, 4 for Montreal. And a lot of those chances, yeah, there's not a lot of them, but some of them were off corners. So that's very interesting. Pirlo, a lot of people were screaming, oh, Pirlo's not even in the 18 in the weekend. He started the game today, played about 50 minutes, was subbed off. 55 minutes around. Was subbed off And he looked like really disjointed on the sideline. He looked like he was done. He looked like he had nothing left. He looked like he didn't want to be there anymore. And that's going to be interesting to see if he lasts the year. Speaking of New York City, I've seen him player that might not last the year. What about Frank Lampard? What about the legend of Chelsea? What about Super Frankie? Where are you, Super Frank? Kind of. I saw your face this morning on my milk carton. That's how missing he is. You know, not that he's missing for the team and that he could bring some offensive power. Yeah, he could probably do that. But injuries after injuries, not getting accustomed to the lifestyle of a Major League Soccer player, which you need to travel and recover on your own, maybe more. Well, you don't travel on your own. You don't necessarily recover on your own. But your time management, what you do on your own time, as well as what you do when you're the team, especially when you have a lot of travel, when you have to recover your body properly in the right way when you travel across the country, and it does happen multiple times in the season, especially with the limited amount of charter flights that you're allowed to have. So a player like Super Frankie Lampard has had injury trouble since joining New York City FC, and is those one type of player that, look, the signing was more for the gist, like the glamour and the fancy dress and the champagne and the gold watches. It wasn't for the right reasons. It wasn't to help the team win on the pitch. It was to help the team talked about off the pitch. It achieved that, yeah. But the Manchester City debacle, where he stayed there 6 months too late, probably still in people's mind. And now the fact that he's not playing, not bringing in anything to the team as we speak, and we're seeing Villa giving his all to the team and Pirlo trying to do something, Frankie Lampard has really, really lost his luster, we could say, since joining New York City FC. And maybe he's actually thinking, I'm putting word in his mouth right now, yeah, probably. But maybe it was a mistake for him to leave Chelsea for Manchester City / New York City FC. You are listening to the MLS Postgame Show Live. I am Kevin Laramie. You can follow me on Twitter at Kev Laramie. And you can give us a call as well, 929-477-3874. The lines are open. Come give us your opinion tonight. Should the Portland deserve better in that game tonight? Did New England steal a point at home against the Portland Timbers? What's your opinion on Patrick Vieira's debut as a coach with New York City FC? That's a good one. You bench Pirlo, then you don't even put him in an 18, and you start him a couple days later. Earlier this season, two players got into a lot of trouble by tweeting videos that were basically fine. Nothing wrong with the videos of them talking about soccer and all. And those players get fined? Those players get a suspension for a couple of days and don't start games. And you know, that's the type of thing that's really stands out in, you know, Patrick Vieira's debut as a coach is really that, look, he's not going to take any bullshit. Let's be frank here. He was going to say, no, look, you don't represent the club. This video that you posted doesn't represent the club the way we, or I as a coach, would like you to represent the club. Take it down and you're suspended. Yeah. So that's interesting. You know, it's the way that Patrick Vieira is managing his team. Pirlo, yeah, go in the stands. You have to give me more, maybe in training. Even though he misses half the training. Maybe to give me more to deserve playing time in games. And that's an argument that actually is worth it, and I made today on Two Solitude Soccer Podcast again. Shameless plug that you can listen to on the Sports Podcasting Network. But on the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast today, I was saying that, look, you're looking at a coach, a new coach, that is trying to establish himself not only as a good coach in Major League Soccer, but more importantly, as a suitable replacement for maybe Pep Guardiola in 2-3 years down the line in Manchester City after he's done his stint after Pellegrini. This year, Pep Guardiola is taking over Manchester City, and Vieira is touted to be the replacement after Pep. He's supposed to be the post-Pep coach. So if he does take the post-Pep coach job. He needs to have credibility with big names, credibility with big superstars. And look, he have actually a track record of being able to manage egos. And if he does that in New York City, like he did with Pirlo last Saturday, tonight, again, I stress that Pirlo started the match against the Montreal Impact. But last Saturday, what Patrick Vieira did as a coach was a statement saying, look, you're in the bench. And after the game, he was asked, is it an injury? Is it something we don't know, personal reasons or something? No, it's a coach decision. I put on the pitch and on the bench, I dressed the roster that I think is the best suited to win us a game. That's what he felt that he brought to the table. And that's what he thought. And tonight, there was a really weird concerned look on the faces of player of New York City FC when Dominic Odor scored. They could feel that finally that victory, still winless at home, the only team left in Major League Soccer without a home victory in 2016. And they were thinking, oh, tonight is the night, New York City. We scored first. It's 1-0. It's the 88th, 89th minute, 90th minute. We're going to do this. Maduro said no. And the Impact stole a point. And the smile off faces of New York City players. And you really felt that maybe the pressure is getting to them. And maybe, again, like Grant Needham said today on the Two Solid Soccer podcast, the pressure of the supporting cast to have to do more because of Pirlo and Lampard's lack of support with the team. Well, the lack of support is not a good term. Their lack of offensive contribution. With the lack of Pirlo's contribution, same with Lampard, it actually gives more pressure on Villa. And he's playing like he has a lot of pressure on himself. But he actually is doing pretty good. But the supporting cast, we cannot say the same. The supporting cast is trying to eke out a good results, game in, game out, but sometimes they lack the talent needed, sometimes they lack the skills needed and the support needed. But we've seen New York try and pull, but so far, to be honest, Patrick Vieira might be saying all the right things, and optically speaking, he's doing the right moves. But on the pitch, the team hasn't shown the results that is kind of expected with a team that has this amount of money invested into its roster. Music on the Sports Podcasting Network is courtesy of St. Clair. Get their EP Moving on stclair.bandcamp.com. Thanks for listening to SBN Radio. You can reach us on Twitter right now, hashtag SBN Radio. Give us a call. Give us your opinion on the games tonight. The Montreal Impact 1-1 draw on the road in New York City. New England 1-1 draw at home against the Portland Timbers. Give us a call, 929-477-3874, here on the MLS Postgame Show on SBN Radio, where you can listen to live shows. Last night was the first ever edition of Open Lines After Dark, where no boundaries, you can talk about any sport, any type of sporting event that you love to talk about. Next edition, probably Friday night, tentatively scheduled for Friday night, the next edition of Open Lines After Dark, where you can talk about any single aspect of the sports world or, hey, even non-sports world. You might have heard of the Sports Podcasting Network. That's where all the shows, as this one as well, because, yes, we are live. We're doing live sports radio here, live, and you can call us again. But the Sports Podcasting Network is where you can listen to all the shows on demand. Sports radio on demand. Isn't that beautiful? You can listen to the shows whenever you like, wherever you like, on iTunes, Stitcher, Feedburner, Podbean, Podbay, PodC, Pod this, Pod that. Anywhere you like, you can get the shows as well as the sportspodcastingnetwork.com. Give us a subscribe. And if you would like to feel useful, to more useful, because yes, you are useful in life. Don't listen to what they say. You are useful in life. No matter what they say to you, you have confidence that you are useful. But if you want to feel even more useful, help us do more. Help us achieve and grow our vision here on SPN Radio and the Sports Podcasting Network. You can go to Patreon. That's patreon.com/Sports Podcasting Network. Help us do more with sports radio, live call-in shows, daily call-in shows maybe. Soccer Today is about to debut a few days a week from now. We're working on the schedule in the beginning of this glorious show that Soccer Today will be, hosted by Dwayne Rones and yours truly, Kevin Larame. That's me, at Kev Larame on Twitter. But the Soccer Today, the idea and the concept behind it is, no, we're not going to copy what Jason Davis and Trevor Haywood did for 3 years with Soccer Morning. But it's kind of like the idea behind it is, look, we want to have a open discussion. We want to have open lines. We want to hear your opinion. We want to talk to you. And that's the idea. And that's the concept behind Soccer Today. Is, yeah, all the other shows on the Sports Podcasting Network are still available for you to listen to our interviews, our post-game interviews, post-game report on Out the Woodworks, USL Radio, which is tomorrow, by the way, and all other shows like the Nightcap that came out today, to Sawtooth, Swiss Extra. Yeah, those shows will continue to exist in their format. But here on SPN Radio, what we are bringing is maybe an upgrade where you can call in and give us your opinion, where you can call in live, or we can give reaction and maybe start shows in a moment's notice when there's breaking news. And that's the idea behind this SPN, which is stands for Sports Podcasting Network Radio. You can reach us right now, #SPN Radio. Visit us as well on the sportspodcastingnetwork.com. Vancouver Whitecap, Kansas City, just wrapped up a few moments ago. It's interesting to see how Vancouver is going to rebound. Not bad tonight. They were down to 10 men, and they held on for the 1-1 draw. So for Vancouver, it's a result that, yeah, it's not necessarily a victory. It's not the greatest result. They scored a goal on the run of play for the second game in a row. Woohoo! Vancouver, two in a row you scored. That's amazing. #SPN Radio. Give us a call. 929-477-3874. Kyle Robinson, again, was quite worried as well today when Kansas City scored their goal to tie the game. And then when Kendall Watson was sent off, seems like you can see the writings on the wall saying, look, we're going to have another bad result. And maybe unlucky, yes, but we'll see. Kendall Watson, one of those two yellows, was questionable, like Ludovic was saying earlier on the phone. And again, you can give us a call. Lines are open. BN Radio, 929-477-3874 here on SPN Radio. And, you know, you're looking at a team like Vancouver, which struggled to score, which Octavio Rivero hasn't lived up to expectations. Bolaño scored his first goal in MLS. So as Diego Rubio for Kansas City tonight scored his first goal in MLS, is in his second start of the year, his fifth cap for Kansas City in 2016, the new young Argentine player for Kansas City. But you know, Vancouver is expected to do more this year. Last year, they made its way to the playoff, and yeah, it didn't go according to plan. They didn't win the whole damn thing like they were expected to with the great season they have had. But this year, they were expected to do more. They were expected to take the same concept and idea and bring it forward. They were missing goals, and they thought they addressed the situation with a couple of key transfers or The addition by subtraction, Darren Maddox plays for Portland now, so maybe they thought they've addressed the situation. Have they? Tonight, one goal, yeah. To last, the weekend, they beat Dallas 3-0. They scored three goals. Scoring goals wasn't an issue. But tonight, they needed that goal before Kendall Watson was sent off. And once he was sent off, they did absorb all the pressure that Kansas City brought to them. But they couldn't generate anything but defensively just absorbing. They couldn't move forward. They couldn't actually get into the final third to try to pressure Kansas City because they had their hands full defensively being down the 10-man against a very good and very opportunistic Kansas City, even though they couldn't get that final pass in late into the second half to get that goal that would have been the game winning. But Kansas City, Vancouver in BC Place, Vancouver result down to 10-man. You would still take it. So it wouldn't be surprising if Kyle Robertson is actually quite not happy, but he'll take it. He feels all right about it. He doesn't feel maybe cheated because that goal earlier on took the lead. Yeah, they got the goal against them, and then Watson got sent off and they couldn't generate anything. But Masaku Kudo played a good game, had a couple chances, was denied at basically point blank against the keeper. So, yeah, those were interesting. Now, looking at the standings as we speak, after the midweek games in Major League Soccer, in the Eastern Conference, we have the Eastern Conference leaders, the Montreal Impact, with 13 points. Points per game of 1.63, 8 games played. Followed by the surprising, surging Philadelphia Union, 12 points, 1.71 points per game right now, which would put them in first in the East if they would have more games played, but they have 7 games played. Toronto FC, which hasn't played in home game yet, on the road with a record of 3 victories, 2 defeats, and 2 draws for a total of 11 points. For a points per game of 1.57 on the road, which is quite higher, statistically speaking. It's actually quite higher than the norm of 1.3, 1.4 usually on the road points per game average, and at home 1.7. Toronto FC at 1.57 can say mission accomplished with their 2016 beginning of the season schedule they have on their own because of the renovation of BMO Field to accommodate the Argos, the Argonauts, the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League that will be playing at BMO Field this summer to the chagrin of Toronto fans. Yes, but hey, it's already done. What can you do about it? In fourth place in this East right now as we speak, Wednesday night, 12:39 a.m., in fourth place, Orlando City SC, 9 points, 1.29 points per game with 7 games played. DC United with 9 points as well in fifth place, 1.13 points per game average with 8 games played. New England, that's where it gets tricky. They're 9 points. They have a points per game of 1. They have 9 games played. They're 1 win, 2 losses, and 6 draws. So that's where the New England results looks kind of weird. And even today, they rescued a point at home, but dropping quite quickly in that standing. Because if you're looking at the teams that are below that red line, some of them are due and bound to rebound very quickly with a lot of foul power. And a team like New England in sixth position with the stats that they are and the goal differential of -5, I don't think they're going to stay above that red line that says if you're making the playoffs or not quite often. So right now, New England is bound to go underneath that red line, I assume, pretty quickly. Because in seventh position, we have the Columbus Crew, which on paper is one of everybody's favorite club in the Eastern Conference to achieve a result and to get further into the playoff than even last year, which would mean an MLS Cup final appearances, maybe. But right now, Columbus Crew in seventh with 8 points, 1.14 points per game, 7 games played. They're 2-3-2. But Columbus Crew, type of a team that's maybe more built for a type of grind and grit type of soccer that we see maybe more in the playoff. Just ask Gaston Saro in the playoff against Montreal last season. It's harder to get up for those games earlier in the season than into the playoffs. So maybe it does explain the results they do have right now because of that lack of intensity. It's hard to turn it up all the time. So maybe they're keeping it for later. Maybe that's one of the hypotheses that would explain what's going on in Columbus. What's going on in New York? We talked about it today with Grant Needham, the original number 9 of the Montreal Impact, color commentator for the Montreal Impact broadcast on TSN 690 AM that we had interviewed today on the Tucson Dude Soccer podcast. And he talked about like New York City. It's not their own stadium. They're struggling with a couple of players, but the supporting cast is not necessarily good enough because, well, it's a team that's top heavy built, which means they're the top players are paid a lot. So to get under that cap and to get the same amount of money and to get that allocation and to get that TAM and GAM all working, the players in the bottom are not the difference of skills and quality between the top and bottom players of this roster is quite heavy. So that's the result of we're seeing. And now they have 7 points after 8 games played for a points per game average of 0.88. They're 1-3-4 with a goals differential of -3. By the way, Columbus, a goals differential of -2. That might come in any later on in the season, but it's always interesting to keep an eye on it early because if you see a gap or a trend, it might explain a different change of tactics for a team down the road if they know it's going to be tight in the points and in the wins and in the loss and tight column. And if it has to come down to differential, it's good to keep an eye on it early. So compared to New England, Columbus is quite okay for now, but we're just talking about 3 goals differential for now. It's just a handful compared to New York. What's going on in Red Bulls now? We talked about New York City, what's going on in Vieira's maybe struggle as a coach to start his career in New York. And we're talking about New York Red Bulls, Jesse Marsh, the coach of the New York Red Bulls. I remember him talking earlier this season when New York Red Bulls were in town in Montreal, how it's a struggle, it's hard, they're just going to keep on working, put their head down and go forward and work and try the blue-collar situation. But I really do think it's a case where the rest of the league has caught up to the style of the New York Red Bulls and has figured out how to stifle the service to their star attacker and make them have to work for every single inch of space on that pitch. And if you don't give the service, and if you don't give space for Sasha Kljestan to operate, and for Felipe to give the ball to Sasha to eventually get him involved into the offensive play, you're really cutting the chances for New York. And that's what we've seen for him so far. New York, they have 6 points right now, 9th position in the East, 8 points in 6 points in 8 games played for a record of 2 wins, 6 losses, a goals differential of -9. They're 2-2 at home and they're 0-4 on the road. The road hasn't been kind for New York so far. And the only team that's worse than the Red Bulls, Chicago. And they're only worse technically because they only have 6 games played. Their points per game is at 1. So technically, if the trend continues and they would continue to have the same type of result in statistically, so statistically speaking, if they would go to the same amount of games played as the 2 New York teams, they would be ahead of them because of their points per game is at 1. But they have 6 games played. They're 1-2-3 for the bottom of the Eastern Conference in 10 points. You are listening to the MLS Live Game Show. I am Kevin Laramie. You are listening to SBN Radio. You can give us a call. Give us your opinion on tonight's match. Let's recap the score. We have Vancouver Whitecaps sporting Kansas City at BC Place, a 1-1 draw. New England Revolution at home in Foxborough, Gillette Stadium, against the Portland Timbers, reigning and defending MLS Cup champions, coached by Caleb Porter, with a couple of alumni from Akron that are playing under him, and one former Montreal Impact player that makes a return in the league. In a low profile this year, Zach Valentin in Portland, but he's back in North America after a stint in the Nordic countries of Europe. 1-1 between New England and the Portland Timbers at Gillette Stadium. And surprisingly, very shockingly, at Yankee Stadium, 1-1 between the Montreal Impact on the road and New York City FC. So those are the results tonight. I was looking at the stat sheets for the Montreal Impact versus New York City FC tonight, and what really stands out is the shot accuracy of New York City anywhere on the pitch. They're so used to playing on this side of the pitch. I don't think they're used to playing at Yankee Stadium, but for sure, and that's me talking probably out of my hat here, I don't know. But if I was them, I would have a same size soccer pitch built for my training facility so I can actually train on the same size of pitch and I could get to know my bearings, get to know where I am on the pitch, and to get to know where to shoot the ball on target. Because look, total shots for New York City were 19. Yes, the fast transition and their habit of getting the ball very quickly to the front and Tommy M. When they get the ball to him and he gets closer to the goal and they get a shot off, they get that really easily. And we've seen this with 19 shots, 5 on target. You're going to see, yeah, 6 off target, 6 off target, and 8 block shot for New York City, which probably tells you the type of job that the Montreal Impact defense did. André Lefebvre and Laurent Simon did a great job in defense tonight for the Montreal Impact, if you're looking at statistically those block shots. But it just tells you that sometimes we've talked and make jokes all of tonight on this show, and we've talked about it on Twitter all day long, all night long, and on TV broadcasts, both the YES broadcast or the one on RDS talked about the size of the pitch and how it's an issue, but you have to get used to it. But yeah, you have to get used to it. It's an advantage. And Dwayne talked about today on the 2 Saw 2 Soccer podcast, I'll reiterate it, statistically speaking, over the amount of time he made the research, I think it's the last 10 years, statistically speaking, we're looking at the home field advantage being quantified as 1.7 points per game is the average of home field team. And those same team on the road have 1.3, 1.4, depending where you make that estimate. So talk about a 0.3 difference on the road. And sometimes when you can use those marginal gains and highlight them and try to get the most out of them, squeeze the juice as hard as possible, squeeze that fruit to get the most amount of juice possible. Yeah, that's what New York City FC is doing with their size of the pitch and their style of play designed to be useful and be successful on this type of surface. And that's what New York City is doing. It's unfortunate because when you're a away team, you come into this place and you're not necessarily asking yourself, look, is it a good place to play? How do you play tactically? How do you? You have to be aware of that situation. And that's something that we've seen Vieira do, but maybe not to the most. You know, it wasn't done 100%. You know, so that's one thing that's going to be quite interesting to see go forward, is they do still believe in Vieira and his system in New York City FC, because results need to be achieved. And if you keep losing game at your stadium, at Yankee Stadium, you might be okay and get close to the playoff and not qualify. Financially speaking, it's not a problem. That's what we're talking about. But optically speaking, my new favorite word of the day today, optically speaking, if your fan base gets alienated because you're not bringing the results and the expectations that you did put on yourself on this league since you joined them, if you don't give the fans what they're looking for, what they want, how do you expect them to take you seriously and come and see you more often and come fill that stadium? It's already a hard task to tell them to come see a soccer game at a baseball stadium with weird conditions and weird sidelines that are not made for soccer, and they were an afterthought for soccer, but it's going to have to make do for now. So come and see us and support us. And look, you might not like Manchester City, and we know it's our owner, but it doesn't matter. Support us. So it's already a hard sell if they have to sell a losing team on top of it. I don't see that stadium being full anytime soon.
SPN, the Sports Podcasting Network. Visit us, sportspodcastingnetwork.com. You are listening to the MLS Postgame Show on SPN Radio. I am Kevin Laramie. A handful of minutes left on this show today. You can give us a call if you want. 929-477-3874. Talk about the games of Major League Soccer. Quick score finished 1-1 across the board between all teams involved tonight. 1-1 across the board. We talked about the standing in the Eastern Conference. To finish the show, we'll finish with the Western Conference. FC Dallas still on top of the league. Right now, Supporters Shield's leader, 17 points in 9 games played for a points per game of 1.89. Yes, they're only there because they played 9 games and their close pursuant only played 8 and 7, but the surprising and surging Colorado Rapids, which are the next opponent of the Montreal Impact, at Stade Saputo Saturday, April 30th. Rapids, 16 points, 2 points per game average game so far. The Galaxy, surprising, because they actually maybe found a way to use Gerard Gerikli and get a great result, 5-2 against RSL. Last weekend, Galaxy, 14 points in 7 games for a points per game of 2. Tied right now, but they had a differential of plus 10. Best differential in the league is the Galaxy so far. So the Galaxy actually played really well defensively and scored when it was time, like the game this weekend. But a differential of 10 for the Galaxy for Bruce Arena in the year that was maybe a questionable roster building year for Arena, right now, 14 points in 7 games played. Quite a successful debut of season, and we all know how usually the Galaxy finishes, so if they continue, they'll be a force to reckon with once again in the Western Conference. Real Salt Lake, a team that was undefeated up until a week and a half ago, now they lost once, and it was the Galaxy last Saturday again. Big loss, 5-2. But their record of 14 points in 7 games for a points per game average of 2, they're 4-1-2. Again, their first defeat was at the end of the Galaxy last Saturday at Subub Center. But the Real Salt Lake, a mix of old veteran, couple new young players, and a new young veteran. I would say that they're new old young veterans, the type of Joao Plata and same type of example for Real Salt Lake that are actually contributing for them a very successfully this season. San Jose Earthquake, the Goonies are back. This year, they actually, a week and a half ago, they scored late in a game, if I'm not mistaken, to tie it up. It's always fun to see the Earthquake, Goonies, and Wondolowski scoring. So the San Jose Earthquake are right now fifth in the Eastern Conference with a 14 points as well. 3 teams tied with 14 points in the Western Conference in third, fourth, and fifth position. San Jose, 14 points. They played 8 games so far for a points per game average of 1.75. At home, 4-0-1. Still undefeated at home at Avaya Stadium. But away, they're 0-2-1. For San Jose, a differential of only 1. The last 3 teams qualifying for the playoff as we speak in the Western Conference all have 1 point, 1 goal in the differential. So they're not in the negative and they're quite tight. So it's very tight in this aspect. And again, it's still early to talk about games, goal differential in case they're tied at the end of the season. But sometimes it's 1 or 2 points or very tight, and that differential can and might come into play later on. Kansas City, my favorite. I can't believe that I actually chose them to win the damn thing this year. But Kansas City, 6th in the Western Conference with 12 points, 1.5 points per game, 8 games played. They're 4-4-0. So they either win or they lose. And it's either 1-0 or 2-1 because they have 9 goals for and 8 goals against. The first position off the playoff in the Western Conference
is the Vancouver Whitecaps. 10 points tonight, 1 point in that draw against Kansas City, a team that they are directly battling for a playoff spot. As we speak, I stress again that it's early in the season to see that we talk about a playoff race, but those two teams, if the trend continues, might battle for a playoff spot in Kansas City and Vancouver right now are very close to each other. So that's why. So that's why the game tonight was very important for the Whitecaps. And unfortunately, yeah, they got a result down to 10-9. They got a draw. But that victory would have been that sixth position spot for them. So that's what the game cost them tonight on top of a Kendall Watson suspension for the next game they have. Portland Timbers, so they have 10 points in 8 games played for a points per game of 1.25. The Portland Timbers, 9 points, 1.13 points per game. They have played 8 times. Seattle Sounders in 9th place. Siggy, it's not going well, Siggy. Not as bad as Houston, but it's not going well. 7 points in 7 games played for a points per game average of 1 for a team that, yes, they lost Obo Martins, but any team with Clint Dempsey in Major League Soccer in sort of still his prime, kind of doesn't look like it this year, but technically he's in his prime. So Seattle, they're might going to have a resurgence quite soon, or maybe Sigismund doesn't finish the season. It'll be interesting. He might finish the season. I don't think he'll come back next year. The Houston Dynamo are the bottom dwellers in the Western Conference right now. Very difficult beginning of the season for the team that is now the managed by former Montreal Impact goalkeeper, technical director, Matt Jordan. The Houston Dynamo, 5 points, 0.71 points per game in 7 games played. They have a differential of -1. They're 1-1-2 at home, and they're 0-3-0 on the road. It's not going well. It's probably not going to get any better anytime soon. So that's one of the season that it's kind of looking where Houston is not going to pull a Houston. They're not going to squeak in the playoff, and they're not going to maybe make a deep run in the playoff like we've seen Houston do many times over the last decade. All right, couple of key games to look at this weekend in Major League Soccer. Friday, the Friday night game, New York FC Dallas. Saturday, New York City FC, Vancouver Whitecaps. Montreal Impact in Colorado. We have the Philadelphia Union versus the San Jose Earthquakes. Seattle Sounders, Columbus Crew SC at CenturyLink Field in Seattle. Chicago Fire, DC United in Chicago. New England, Orlando in New England. Real Salt Lake and the Houston Dynamo in Real Salt Lake. Those are the game for this weekend. Hope you enjoyed this first edition of the MLS Live MLS postgame show here on SBN Radio. You can visit us on the sportspodcastingnetwork.com. And until next time, I am Kevin Larame, and have a great soccer. You were listening to SPN, the Sports Podcasting Network. Visit us, sportspodcastingnetwork.com.